This week's podcast, episode 2.3, is a repeat of the sermon from January 26th about Jesus calling his first followers. We had some technical difficulties with the recording, so if you heard the sermon live, you can either listen to this rewrite or hit the stop button now, which why would you possibly want to do that? So welcome to 5 Minutes Alone, the weekly podcast of the Bering Drive Church of Christ. I'm your host, Jeff Christian, preacher at Bering. You can always find out more about the Bering Drive Church of Christ at our website, beringfamily.org, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at Bering Drive. And if you are in Houston, we would love for you to join us each Sunday morning. So Jesus has just finished weeks of temptation out in the desert. God's messengers have taken care of him. So what does he do next? He moves. He moves up to a country lake and starts telling the people about God. But Jerusalem is where it's at. That's where all the people are, the big city. But Jesus believes in starting small and gathering a loyal group of undistracted followers. So he goes to the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias, what locals these days call the lake. Today, the Sea of Galilee is full of tourists and nightclubs and hotels, especially in the town of Tiberias. But up the road is the quiet little fishing village of Capernaum, where Jesus decided to live for a while. This little, nondescript fishing village about 30 miles from his hometown of Nazareth. And Nazareth was a lot like the little towns on the Sea of Galilee. The people in Jerusalem called it Nazareth. Ugh. You remember when they found out that Jesus was from Nazareth? The very thing they said was, surely nothing good can come from Nazareth. They felt about Nazareth and Galilee the way many people feel about, well, fill in the blank with your favorite place to loathe and you get the picture. Anyway, back to Galilee and a little place up on the lake. Apparently, in and around Capernaum, where Jesus began his ministry, were a lot of people who had grown complacent in their faith. I can just picture a faithful woman begging her husband, "Oh, Zebedee, please come to synagogue with me today." And he replies, "Nah, I'm taking the boys fishing." And then one day, while Zebedee and his two sons were fishing, Jesus strolls up and says, "Come follow me, and I will make you real fishermen." The dad probably says, "Don't go with him, we have work to do." But off they go to repent and follow, which is the whole point of the stories in Matthew 4, when Jesus goes up to Galilee and calls people to repent and follow. Jesus began his ministry with this line, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Just before Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, he recruits those who will be the first Christian preachers, not from the halls of celebrity, but fishermen and plain country people out in the middle of nowhere. And the message will begin by a little lake in the country. But Jesus did not arrive on the scene big and spectacular, nor did his ministry start that way. Those initial invitations to a few people were as straightforward as they could be. Come follow and learn. That was it. Jesus says, "Come follow me." All the while in the midst of these invitations to follow and calls to repentance, Jesus is connecting to Isaiah 9 while he's preaching in Matthew 4. "People in darkness have seen a great light. For those in the shadow of death, light has dawned." The passage Jesus quotes from Isaiah 9 is about a celebration. People were in darkness. They didn't know what to do. They were flailing about trying to understand the meaning of life. Does that sound familiar? We're really no different. That's why these readings are more important than they've ever been. This living word from Matthew 4 and Isaiah 9 that continues to live and speak in more relevant ways than ever. In Isaiah's time, the people were worried about being overtaken by other nations and whether God was with them. In Jesus' time, the people were worried about already being overtaken by the Roman Empire and whether God was with them. And today, we have discussions about our country and our families and church and our cities and whether we can sustain our dependence on technology and probably a lot of other stuff, wondering the same thing, if God is with us. But the message in Isaiah's time and Jesus' time, and our time for that matter, is exactly the same. "I've always been here," God says. "During times of darkness, I will always shine my light." You see, the main reason I'm so excited about the future of the Bering Drive Church of Christ, especially as we dream this year in prayer, is because we are standing on the promises of God. It's no wonder that Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, preaches from a passage in Isaiah that is all about a big, festive, loud celebration of God shining his light in the darkness. But then the initial celebration begins to settle down. The clapping slowly ceases, people sit down, and then the rest of the message begins. Not in a stadium, but by a country lake. And it is out by the lake that even today, Jesus invites us to follow, just like he did his original followers. And we know that if we accept his invitation to follow, Jesus will feed us, not with temporary bread, and certainly not the bread of temptation that he was offered earlier in the story. Rather, Jesus offers us the bread of life, eternal bread that will always feed us. And then in the next sermon Jesus preaches in Matthew 5, he will remind us, then and in chapter 6, not to worry about what we will eat or drink or wear, and probably included in that is everything else we give so much attention that in the span of eternity is downright futile. So take your worries today, the dark corners of your what-ifs, and let the promised light of God shine. Come follow and come learn. Eat what you are served and set your hearts on the things of eternity. Now, how does this work? Could we possibly understand this? Or is it enough to come to the table and just say yes to Jesus? Come follow. Jesus says, I will feed you, and you will never go hungry. And all we have to do is say yes.